My mind is somewhat in churning. It has been somewhat all weekend. If you want to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. At Olenin yesterday, I preached a little bit about this prayer of Paul and thought I would continue with it yesterday afternoon, but the Lord directed me in a different way, I believe, and then again a little bit this morning. But I want to come back to this this afternoon in this last part of the book of Ephesians. I never will, I don't guess, get used to preaching. There's nothing I enjoy more than preaching, and I've never gotten to where Spurgeon was, but it was said of him that he almost threw up every time before he preached. But I can assure you that for this preacher, it's not always a calm collectiveness in preaching the Word of God. I will say a few things that some that were at Olenin yesterday heard with regard to this this prayer of Paul. It begins at verse 15. Chapter 1. In fact, I'll read that from 15 through the end of the chapter. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If you'll notice in this, Paul did not pray for the Ephesian saints that they would be spared persecution. He didn't pray that they have good health. He didn't pray that they would be blessed with material blessings. Now, it's not wrong to pray for those things, and I don't want to leave that impression. But if you'll notice, the things for which Paul prayed are spiritual things. And what I would like to be able to do is to encourage the saints here at Ripley to pray for each other for these spiritual things. Now, I pointed this out yesterday. You can go and read that in Revelation chapter 2. But the church at Ephesus was so strong and so in tune with doctrine and the things of God that they could spot a false preacher. They tried those who said they were apostles and were not. And so, you know, that's not the preacher's job. That's not the deacon's job. That's the congregation's job. You're to be able to know these things. And so this is what we want to bring to our attention in some of this afternoon. He prayed for their wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God and for their understanding. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have read the Scriptures or been reading the Scriptures and all of a sudden you come across something and say, I just don't understand that? Have you ever stopped and prayed and asked God to bless you for understanding? You are God's child. You have God's Spirit. And He speaks to you. He speaks to you as you lose yourself in the things of God and learn the things of God. You know, I think I made this mention, of this morning. Some people, you can give them a 200 or 300 page book on politics, or on the end times, or on maybe survivalism, and people will read that. But when is the last time you've read a 200 or 300 page book on the attributes of God, or on the doctrine of God, and on redemption and propitiation and justification and any of the other major doctrines of the Scripture? You will never know those things if you do not dig into them. And this is what Paul prayed for the congregation at Ephesus, that they might know the things that are freely given to them of God. You see, Brother Isaac and Brother Lewis can read and study the Scriptures, and they can preach to you the Word of God, and you can sit there and you can nod and you can say amen and you can say all of that about these things, but are you able to explain those things if somebody asks you? And until you can take the Word of God, and I don't mean just take your idea and your opinion. You want to sit down with somebody and you want to say something like, well, you know, it's not important what I believe. It's not important what you believe. What does the Bible say? Let's see what the Scriptures say. And where you can go to book, chapter, and verse and turn to them, with them to the Word of God and direct them into the teachings of the Scriptures. After all, if they say, well, I don't know anything about the Bible. I know what I believe, but I don't know about the Bible. I've had people tell me, well, you know, that's just your idea. That's your opinion. I said, well, all I'm doing is reading the Scriptures. Several years ago, I had an individual come into the office where I was studying and pastoring at that time, and he said, I don't know anything about the Bible. He said, I know, he claimed to be a preacher. He said, I don't know anything about Primitive Baptist. What do you believe? So I started telling him a few things, and he didn't like that. And I gave a few things about history, and he didn't like that. So I just opened up the Bible and started reading. He said, that's your opinion. I said, I haven't interpreted anything. I've just read the Scriptures. He said, I won't have any part of a God like that. I said, you may not have. You know, I don't know. Tore me up. You know, I had to pray for him. I had to pray for myself too. But if someone is not interested in what the Scriptures have to say, then there's nothing that you can do to change their heart. And you're wasting their time. You're wasting your time. You don't need to feel like a failure. But at the same time, you need to have an understanding of the Scriptures. You need to have an understanding of the Word of God. You may think this funny, but it wouldn't surprise me to see people standing on the street corner, instead of talking to each other, they're texting each other with emotions. You know, it just aggravates me sometimes. People send me a long text. Why didn't they pick up the phone and talk to me? I don't have time to text that. And besides, my fingers are too old. But I've read a few studies, and this modern electronic communication has dumbed down our society. You know what the average comprehension is? 8 seconds. 8 seconds. And if I remember correctly in the article that I read, it is less than the average concentration of a goldfish. That's where our society is. And I'm afraid many Christians are in the same category. There's very little thinking going on in the day in which we live. There's very little taking the truths of God and incorporating them into our system to where they become a part of us. Spiritual apprehension. Spiritual apprehension. To apprehend spiritual things. You see, in the first part of this epistle, or in this chapter of Ephesians, Paul had spoken about the great salvation of God. And what we had treasured up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what spiritual blessings are yours already in Christ Jesus? If I were to come up to you and ask you, name me five spiritual blessings you have treasured up in Christ Jesus. And if you could name five, then I would ask, what are you doing to incorporate those into your soul each day? You see, the things of this world, they do not satisfy us. They do not give us contentment. You know, a lot of theology, and I'm not against theology, those of you that know me, but a lot of theology will not, it won't do Brother Jerry Jr. much good right now, because the theology that he already knows, he's applying that to his soul of knowing that God has not forsaken him. Some of us are what you call conspiracy theorists, folks. What would you do if the whole economy crashes and you don't have any way of surviving that you can see? Would you think God had forsaken you? Do you have spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding of the things of God into your heart and soul, that when things are not going the way that suits you and things are not going easy in life, that you still know that God is on the throne? God is still ruling in heaven? You know, I fear sometimes there's too many professors of Christianity and few possessors. What do I mean by that? Are you confident of the fact that God has changed your heart? Can you describe what regeneration is in the Scriptures? When God works upon the heart of an individual, that individual is changed. When God works upon the heart of an individual, that individual is changed. He knows there's a change. I know that I'm not what I used to be. I know that I'm not what I used to be. Sometimes I get assurance of my salvation that way through the back door. I know what I used to be. I know what I used to be, but I also know that I don't want to be that anymore, and I don't want to do those things anymore. You see, when an individual is brought out of a state of when an individual has been regenerated, he's given a new nature. He's given a new nature. Look with me Second Corinthians chapter 5, I believe. I'm wanting to go to a different place than what I even have on my outline. That's all right. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. I say this, I said something about this morning. When a person is regenerated, he doesn't necessarily have any physical affections, any physical activities that are going on within their being. You see, regeneration is not a physical thing. It's not a physical power that God hits you up the side of the head and all of a sudden you know something happened. It's a spiritual thing. And I fear too often in this modern generation, we look for emotional excitements. I'm not against emotion. Don't get me wrong. I've had some great experiences, I believe, with God. But I've also had some emotional experiences that later on I realized they were not of God. That I thought they were at the time. But the work of grace and the work of God is on the heart on a much deeper level than that of physical euphorias. What moved me on that pew during the singing was not the beautiful voices, though they were beautiful. Compared to our congregation, we have no singing. But anyway, you have a wonderful treasure in the voices that you have here. Don't take that for granted. But it was the words of the song. So too often we sit there on the pew and we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And we just go on through that. We've sung them so many times. We know them. We know them by heart. And we're doing that while we're thinking about some ball game. That's not worshiping God. You're singing those from the head, from the mind, and the spirit is not even engaged. The soul is not engaged. And you know, the ministry of this congregation cannot engage the soul for you. There are some people that I enjoy speaking or hearing them speak, and they can move me. And a good speaker can move folks, but they don't move the soul. Only God can move the soul. And when God moves the soul, it is a lasting effect upon the individual. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. I can remember a time when I would do anything I could to keep from going to church to be at a racetrack on the Lord's Day. Or some other place of youthful excitement. There came a time when that passed away. There came a time when that passed away. Where is your delight? Where is your heart? Are you here because you're expected to be here? Are you here because mother and father brought you here? Why are you here? I'm assuming that you're here because you want to love the Lord. But I don't know that. I can't read your heart. You can't read mine. But if a man has been created anew by Christ Jesus, he no longer wants to do what he used to do. He's a new creature. He's got a new will. He's got a new will. He's got a new desire. He has different loves. Several years ago, I know all of you know Brother Zach Guest. Several years ago, he was working toward getting a doctor's degree, eventually in history. At this particular time, he's working on his master's degree. And instead of writing a paper, he wanted to do something else, to go a shortcut route. I don't remember all the details. But you know why? Because he wanted to study the Scriptures. As much as he loves history, he got tired of history, and he didn't want to read those history books anymore and study that history and do all of that detailed work in history. He wanted to bypass the course, study the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to do that in their education, but what I'm saying is, who made the difference? It was God that made the difference. It's God that made the difference. I never will forget when Brother Zach and I began to get acquainted with each other, and we found out both of us had a thirst for knowledge. And it kind of solidified our souls. And probably at one time we tried to see who could buy the most books. But but the thing about it is, what I'm trying to encourage you is to pick up something and study it about the Word of God. Read the Scriptures. If not, you've got to read the Scriptures. If you've been a Christian for 5 years and have never read the Bible through, shame on you. What is it that's going to feed your soul? It is God's Word. You say, well, when I get the Chronicles, I don't know all of those names, and I can't put it all together. And you've got 10 chapters of who so-and-so begets so-and-so. What are you going to do? Wade through it. I guarantee you, if you read it enough, they'll begin to start falling into place and making sense. I know that from personal reference. And you'll read things, you'll say, well, I didn't know that was there. I read things all the time, and I say, well, I forgot, I didn't know that was there. And I look at my Bible, and I already had it underlined. You see, you can't retain it all. That's the reason we need to constantly renew our minds with the Word of God and with the things of God. Paul prayed for the spiritual understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom of God to be given to these Ephesian saints. And if you sit down sometimes and you want to pray for your congregation, if you want to pray for your preachers, and you say, I don't know what to pray for them, pray that they have spiritual understanding. Pray for each member, and pray for your different members for that they might have wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. College professors, unless they know God, college professors and natural wisdom doesn't understand the things of God. You're not going to learn the things of God on evening news, nor in the newspapers, nor in conspiracy theorist writings. Just remember, our God is in the heavens, and He's in control. And when November the 8th is over, He'll still be in the heavens, and He'll still be in control. And if you're going to dry up and shrivel up and think that the world has come to an end because of how the election turns out, you've taken your eyes off God. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And He's still on the throne. And if you take time to study the things of the providence and the sovereignty of God, it will give you strength and stamina in such troublesome times in which we live. For the last 50 to 75 years, it hasn't made a difference who was elected. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe it's made a difference in the last 50 to 75 years. In the last 50 years, you know who has controlled the Congress more than anybody? The Republican Party. And we've gone downhill. See, it's not a matter of who's in Washington. They're just the figurehead of what God is doing to our country. When God judged Israel, He gave them wicked kings. And even though there were the 7,000 that hadn't bowed to the knee to Baal, there were still the wicked leaders that God had put over them for destruction. You see, the world doesn't know what you know. As I said this morning, and I want to say this again, I apologize for those that heard me this morning for my repetition, but that's all right too. When the school teacher teaches, you have to repeat something 7 times to a child before they begin to start understanding. And preachers have to do the same thing, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. But we need to realize and know that our God is in the heavens, and He has done whatsoever is pleased, and I forgot what I was going to say. Sir? And so, but I want you to know, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged in this difficult and troublesome times. Each one of you have questions about something, no doubt. And many questions you can't answer. But if God has changed your heart, He'll give you an understanding of His Word as you read and study. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God. Now listen. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, right? If we've been given the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God searches for the deep things of God, why are you not searching? Why are you not studying? Why are you not applying these things to your heart and soul? Nobody's going to do it for you. There's several young people here. Do you know anybody that has studied your math and took your math test for you? For taking your math test for you? You got to do it yourself, don't you? I went to school with a guy, he was a good friend of mine. We went to high school and college together. Looked like he never did, hardly picked up a book and made straight A's. I studied my head off and got by with C's and B's. Sad part about it, I wasted the first 14 years of my schooling. Do you know what changed? I began to change when God changed my heart. You see, when God changes a man spiritually, He changes that man in greater ways than just understanding the Scriptures. His whole lifestyle is changed. Oh, he's still a sinner. He still has filthy thoughts, has unwholesome desires. But whereas he used to just give way to them, he doesn't do that anymore. There's enough devil in any one of us here to go to hell 1,000,000 times. And the only different one is different from another is by the grace of God. You are what you are, if you are anything, by God's grace and nothing else. He picked you up out of the slime hill, and He has kept you by His grace. Yea, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Notice this. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Can you say that? Do you know this? I can't answer it for you. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Knowledge is not salvation, but salvation is not apart from knowledge. He gives us the Spirit of God that we might know the things of God. If you want a challenge, read 1 John, that little book of 5 chapters. 31 times it says, we know. One of the most challenging books in the Scriptures. And that book says that if you do not believe God, and if you do not believe Jesus Christ, are you ready for this? You're a liar. That's strong language, isn't it? He that believeth not God has called him a liar. And who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Now, in this politically expedient society, that shouldn't be said, should it? But are we going to stand for the Word of God? Or are we going to bow to political expediency? This is a serious thing, beloved. I'm not just popping off. I work for a Fortune 500 company, and I am surrounded with sodomites. Our company has approved sodomites to wear their pride t-shirts with their company logo on it. And they have their sodomite meetings. I have a sodomite supervisor. And you know what? She's one of the best ones I've ever had. As far as a supervisor. But that's the society in which we live. I refuse to call them anything other than what God calls them. Now, I don't go up to their faces and do it. I don't believe God would have that. And I'm to be submissive to them if they're my boss, as long as they don't require me to do something unbiblical. And if they do, then I have to refuse to do that. But what I'm trying to get across to us, and I'm not trying to be crude, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on anyone, but I'm trying to say that if we have spiritual wisdom and revelation, and spiritual understanding, we will stand for the things of the Spirit of God regardless of the cost. And one of the things I pray for continually is, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil, and let me be able to lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. If they'll leave me alone, I'll be glad to leave them alone. See, I'm not trying to antagonize anybody. I'm not trying to be antagonistic to anybody. But I am trying to be faithful to my God. And if we do not know really what the Scriptures say and have the spiritual wisdom and understanding, and if we do not stand for the Word of God at all cost, while the footmen are here, what will we do when the horses come? As he told Jeremiah. I know if God leaves me to myself, I will not stand. I'm not up here bragging about being some big individual. I know that if God leaves me to myself, I will fall. You will too. You will too. We can't make it without God. We can't make it without God. I'll read verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which we speak, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. And I ask you in all seriousness, listen to me well. The things that I have been saying, are they foolish to you, foolishness to you this afternoon? If they are, I've read you why. You're still a natural man. You need Christ. And you need Him desperately. I can't give Him to you. Heaven knows I wish I could. I can't even give Christ to myself sometimes. I go to God. I pray to God. It seems like that the heavens are brass. I can't even stir up my own soul. Sometimes I read the scriptures. I wonder what I've read. But I don't stop reading. Most of the time when I start praying, I think about I need to be doing something else. Sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep seeking. Remember, the Lord doesn't turn away a seeking sinner. And if you say, you go to your pastor and say, "Pastor, I'm having this trouble. I want you to help me." He can't help you. He can give you some things to do. But until you do it, and until you seek God for yourself, it'll do no good. You see, modern Christianity has gotten to the point that the preacher is more like a hired priest than he is a preacher and a pastor. The congregation expects the minister to do everything for them. Brother Isaac, Brother Lewis, Brother Tommy, they're just as helpless as you are. They're just as helpless as you are. I get, as I said this morning, I get loud sometimes. I get stirred up. I get excited about my preaching. That's not the Spirit of God. Loudness is not the Spirit of God. It is that effectual working in the heart. That effectual working in the heart that brings about a denotable change in your life. And when God moves upon the heart of an individual, there is a denotable change. Most of the time we preachers preach, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. When the Scripture says, he that is a child of God is doing these things. Not perfectly. And you're fighting against sin. You're fighting against sin. I can't imagine the Apostle Paul being such a great sinner, but he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." You know what Paul said? Paul said, "When I would do good, evil is present with me." And you know what he said about that? He said, "That's a law. That's a law." How many times have you tried to do good things and evil is present with me? How many times have you tried to pray and blasphemous thoughts come flying through your head? One of the greatest joys I had in reading Spurgeon's autobiography is to find out that he was plagued with atheistic thoughts. I thought I was the only person that ever had that problem until I read that. The devil is cunning. But you know, I don't need the devil. There's enough wickedness in me. I don't need him to stir me up. I don't need to blame him for my sins. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. That's the reason there are a lot of PhD fools. Brilliant minds. Brilliant minds. Can unlock the DNA and the RNA molecule. And yet they know not the things of God. They know not the things of God. God left them to themselves. Aren't you glad God hasn't left you to yourself? Don't ever get caught to the point of saying, God, just leave me alone. That's the worst thing you could ever pray, for God to leave you alone. And sometimes everything within us wants to say, I wish God would just let me have a rest. Would He just lighten up a little bit? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Did you catch that? People that have a spiritual mind can really discern what's right and what's wrong. That's the reason you can understand it. And you might watch evening news and say, why in the world can they see what's going on? Why can't they understand? When God takes away just natural reasoning and understanding to a nation, they're blind. And if God were to leave me to myself, I'd be blind as a bat to the things of God too. And so would you. Aren't you glad that the Lord is upholding you and strengthening you, and that He loves you, and that He loves you just as much now as He will when you're glorified? That's profound, isn't it? Read it in John 17. I won't turn there. He loves you just as much as you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I can't comprehend that, but I believe it. I can't comprehend creation, but I believe it. I can't comprehend a God that is omnipresent, but I believe it. See, I'm here and you're there, but God's here and there. All at the same time, everywhere. Just as a side note, probably some 30 years ago now. Seemed like just 5 years ago. Anyway, I spent several days studying on the omnipotence of God. No, the omnipresence of God. And, I mean, my old mind just ached on some of that. And then I sat back and was thinking about all that, and all of a sudden, at one time, it just seemed like my mind exploded and went in all directions at once and came back. And I wanted to grab a hold of that and just hold on to that experience, but there's no way I could grab it. It was gone. But I never would have had it if I hadn't spent days before it. That one moment taught me more about the omnipresence of God than anything else. Just everywhere, all at once, and then back. Well, there's much more that could be said. One thing about, I will say this much, that when God has turn the heart of an individual, there's one thing he'll do besides others. He'll flee to Christ. He'll flee to Christ. Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They will not follow another shepherd." That's the reason that you're still holding on to Christ. God has worked a thorough work in your heart and soul and brought you unto Him. Continue to go to Him. Continue to seek Christ. He'll teach you far more than this preacher can ever do.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.